you move. Such an easy thing for you to do. Your head is moving right now. You are still showing up as the tool of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. And my and my God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things. But there, 'cause you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, you never win. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind is blowing right now, breaking up all the stones, taking over like it's Jericho. And my walls are all crashing down, but right now I know you're able. And my God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things, but fail. 'Cause you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, you there.
Never lost a battle with CC Winer. What a way to kick off the show. Greetings, each of you by the very means of internet radio. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you wherever you may be in the 56 different countries that we are reaching out to through this platform. We want to thank you for joining us this evening, and I see that I have tons of people on the switchboard tonight. So all of you that dialed in, amen, I God bless you. After the next track has come and played, there's a song that I love to sing because it's called Testimony Time. You know what we used to do in the old church? Amen. I know a lot of these new mega churches had to take it out, and in order for them to bring it back, they got to make sure it's well scripted. But we just believe in teaching people right. Don't give the devil no glory. Just tell what God has done and give God alone the glory. Don't get up testifying on nobody, telling on nobody, throwing off on nobody. Just say how good God has been to you. Amen. We're going to have that coming up. Amen. And so right now, let's enjoy Deborah Cortez. That young man have a wonderful song. We're going to enjoy him at this particular time. Amen. Let's tune into him and listen to this. You Don't Know. Amen.
You don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you. All the things that he brought me through. His stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I cried, the things I kept bottled up inside, trying my best to be strong, waiting on God. Thank you.
just don't know. That's why we have testimony service, because you just don't know. You don't know what other people have gone through. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one. Every now and then you feel like you're left all alone. But I'm reminded that the scripture tells me that Christ says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So God is always with us. But sometimes when we look around, we don't see no physical body. And so we feel all alone. And when we talk to somebody, they're shaking their head and dismayed. And they're looking at us like we're all by ourselves. We feel like aliens, even amongst our families and friends. But it's good to know that even when your friends don't understand Christ, Jesus Christ alone, he does understand. He's our advocate. He's already praying for us on our behalf to the Father. Isn't that good to know? That's some good news. Our program tonight, in our message, we're going to be dealing with hope eternal. Hope eternal. Amen. In these days and times, when people are dying and not able to bury their loved ones because of this pandemic that's going on, and now this new variant is just keep going from one stage to the other stage, it's almost easy to become a despairer and almost want to throw in the towel. But you don't have to do that. I read the end of the Bible. It told me already we win. So we can be of good cheer. Then he did say that. Be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. So we can be of good cheer no matter what's going on. This ain't the first time a pandemic hit the world. Amen. This is just the first time we done seen it in this age, on this stage. But it's been going on since the beginning of the time. But God has always kept his people. God has always taken care of his people. And he'll take care of you, and he'll take care of me. That's the way my faith is. And I'm just convinced that, you know, to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. So, hey, if I leave y'all, that means my work is done and it was time for me to go home. Amen. And so now I'm at rest. Amen. But since I'm not there yet, I'm here now. So I might as well work while it's day. I might as well do all that God has for me to do. Amen. Amen. Let me take a moment and greet everybody on the line. Amen. I see some zip codes. I'm not going to call your phone numbers out. So when I start saying certain zip codes, don't think I'm going to call your number out. I'm just recognizing your area and from which you're calling in the space. Amen. We know that others are online listening to us live, and we want to say again thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk and finding the Six Eyes program, our platform. Amen. Brother Six is with us today. He's on the line. Amen. A founder of our station. Amen. We always want to tell God thank you for him and the vision that he has for this station. Amen. And we lift him up before the Lord. Amen. We want to thank Missionary Ken, one of the other supporters and helpers with this programming. And he has other programming that he does later on in the week. You may want to tune in to one of his programs. Amen. It's always great information to encourage you, to build you, to enlighten you. Amen. So I want to say welcome to the program, the 662 area code. Welcome to the program, the 301 area code. Welcome to the program, the 216 area code. And welcome to the program, the 708 area code. And welcome to the program, the 901, amen, area code. Amen, amen. So wherever you may be, I think I got them all. Yep. Amen. Amen. The 708 area code. God bless you for coming in. Hey, I'm going to do a testimony service right after Brother Charles come and greet you all and Missionary Ken open us up in a word of prayer. As those do that, if you would like to give a testimony, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. Get a light up on the board, and I'll let you in. Amen. If you desire to give a testimony. If not, just sit back and enjoy the program. Amen. All right. Brother Charles, how you doing this evening?
I am doing great, sir. Thank you. How you doing, Pastor?
Man, I am doing wonderful. Telling God thank you all the way. Amen. We have a wonderful audience tonight. Man, I think we are in for a treat from the Lord tonight. I tell you, we got a special guest coming on the program, World Renowned. Amen. I found one of his videos online, and I'm going to play his song for us, amen, at a later time. And so I'm going to do that after the testimony, amen. But it's going to bless us, amen. And I'm sure his testimony, as he comes and share with us, as me and him break bread together in the Word of God today, later on as well in the program, I'm sure it's going to be a blessing to our listeners. And so I'm just ready to see what the Lord going to drop in on us. Amen. Amen. Missionary Ken, are you there? How you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing great now, but the enemy was hoping that I wouldn't be on the program tonight. He was going to give me a migraine, but the Lord saw a different fit different, and I'm here, and I just want to say praise the Lord. You already got my testimony. See how it came out?
That's what I'm talking about.
Beat you on the testimony service.
Hey, that's all right. You know, we're not going to treat you like a track and field and that they put you out the race for a false start. That's all right. Look, you got a right to praise God. Amen. Yeah, I understand. Your mic was on, so it was your turn. Amen. Amen. I love testimony praise, y'all. I believe the Bible. The Bible says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, all you deep folks want to go to the I just want to take that segment and use it for just what it says. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I don't want to get no deeper than that. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus Christ, and the word of their testimony. What that encouraged me, what that gives me hope in, is to know that I don't have to be a great scholar. I don't have to be a great speaker. If I can just give my true testimony on how God has kept me, saved me, delivered me, helped me, whatever God has done in me, through me, these are the things that will bless the people in this world to say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I trust you to do it for me. God, you did it for him, now do it for me. You did it for her, I need you to do it for me. Lord, and it causes their faith to go up a couple levels because we all got a certain level of faith, but every now and then we doubt whether or not, do God really want to do it for me, though? It ain't that we doubt God. We doubt whether or not it's for me. Well, I just believe all things are possible to them that believe. Now, that's what I read in my Bible. Now, if you ain't read it in your Bible yet, I encourage you to keep reading. It's there. It's in there. It's in there. You just got to find it. And when you find it, hold on to it. Put you a bookmark there. Put you a ribbon there. Amen. Go buy a birthday card and stick it in there. Every time you get a little sad, find your birthday card and read that scripture so that you'll find joy and hope. Amen. Somebody. Amen. But we're going into our testimony. Missionary Ken, go ahead and give us a word of prayer. Pray for the station. Pray for our nation. Let God use you, and then I'll come back with the testimony song. Amen. Come on.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to protect us in another way, Lord Jesus, as you've always done, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for this day, Lord Jesus, that you would touch each and every heart, each and every life, Lord Jesus, as we give the wheel of this program over to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you now, Lord Jesus, first to touch that soul who is nearest hell. Would you help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so that they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing, Lord Jesus, and do pray so that they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, we ask a special blessing to do pray, Lord Jesus, for those first with the loss of someone due to COVID-19, family or friend, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to comfort them as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19, we ask you to heal them and raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can. Now we ask all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Missionary Ken. Let me do this commercial first. Let me go ahead and as they say, pay some bills.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Amen. I value God's decision for my life to wait on him. Hey, it's testimony time. The old church used to sing this song. I'm not much of a singer, but I know I can get these few verses out, and that is these words. I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I believe I testify
while I have a chance.
I believe I testify while I have a chance. Oh, I may not have a chance anymore. Hey, brothers and sisters, testimony service is open. I'm opening up all the lines, whether you pass one or not. If you like to give a testimony, you're more than welcome to give one. Come on, 3, 2, 1, jump in. It's called Ready Golf. Amen. Ready testimony.
Yeah. I was saved on June 20th, 1974. I was immersed in water, and I think it was about 10 years after that or shortly after that. And then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire and danced in the Spirit in 1995 in a Pentecostal church. But I've been in a lot of churches besides Pentecostal. I've been a Nazarene and a Baptist, and my goodness, I've been all over the place. So I just want to praise the Lord for being my Savior.
Amen, amen. Thank God for his saving grace. It don't matter. Once you believe the Lord Jesus with your heart and confess with your mouth, amen. That's what Romans 10:9-10 says. Amen. You were born again. Amen. So thank God for the experience that you have. Now you know how to reach those that may be still searching. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else have a testimony? God bless you. 404 coming on the line there. Amen. Amen. And another 708. God bless you too. Coming on the line. Anyone else has a testimony?
So I made the woke list. So I want to thank the Lord, and I had a productive day. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for productivity. Amen. And we all thanking God for our names being on the woke list, not just this morning, but even in this afternoon, because somebody got up this morning, but they didn't see the nightfall. Amen. So we thank God for our names still being on the woke list. Amen. Amen. Anyone else with a testimony? Amen. Amen. Going once, going twice.
Good evening.
Go right ahead.
I'm just thankful that God keeps me going. Didn't know it was me. But yes, I'm thankful for many things. The blessings, the gifts and talents
amen.
That He's
God bless
you with.
Come on with your testimony.
I'm just thankful that He keeps me going even when there are days I have pain, but I'm able to get beyond it and keep doing what I need to do. And I'm just thankful. I feel blessed. I feel honored.
Amen.
That He loves me.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. God so loved the world. That's when, in other time, when you feel like don't nobody love you, you can remember one thing for sure. God loves you. Because He said in His word, while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, if you didn't like me, I don't think I'm going to die for you. Because it's going to be a push for me to die for you, even if I do like you. So that's how much more God loves us. Amen. That while we was yet sinners, while we were still enemies to the kingdom of heaven, God allowed Christ to die for our sins. Amen. Amen. And so that's how great a love He has for us. I have on the line, there's another testimony before I introduce to you all my special guest. I have a track that I want to play up here before he gives his testimony. I'm going to play this twice. I'm going to play it in the beginning, and then I'm going to play it at the end. It's a wonderful song that he's singing. It's about 3 minutes long, a little more than 3 minutes. But any more testimonies? And the only reason why I'm asking now, because all the mics are open, and so that we don't get unnecessary feedback, I'm going to close all the mics back. Amen. Amen. Going once, going twice. All right. That means we're ready to hear our guest tonight. Amen. Who is with us. He is a brother of mine. Now, we didn't come from the same womb, but we are covered in the same blood. Amen. And he has been a friend of mine for some time now. I'm trying to Elder Deering, we met in 06, 07, 08, somewhere around then.
2010.
I don't know.
You tell me.
You're the one with the great memory.
bless your heart, man. We've been brothers ever since, you know. We have great fellowship and great love for one another, and I do love you truly and dearly.
Amen. Elder Deering, I got a track of yours I want you to listen to before I brought you on the program tonight to have a dialogue with me about the topic of faith and hope eternal. And we're going to talk about that later, but before we talk about that, I would love for you to share pieces of your testimony, if God will give you, to our audience. And I want to thank you again for being a part of us. This gentleman here, he once traveled with a renowned evangelist. Some of you may know Morris Sorello and his conferences that he used to do all over the world. Elder Willie Deering was a singer that traveled along with him and others. And he done sung from every place in the world, London and all these other places. And so we have a track here of him singing. Let me let you just listen to it. That was a wonderful song, man. It's also on your own CD. What are some of the other songs that are on your CD?
Well, it starts off going into prayer with Arise to Your Dwelling Place. And then
okay.
we go into high praise with I Will Praise You in the Congregation, Shield for Me, I Will Extol Thee, Lion of Judah, Who is the King of Glory? It's called King of Glory. And then we have Lift Up Your Heads in the Sanctuary. Lift Up Your Hands in the Sanctuary and Bless Ye the Lord. We have You're Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then we have I Will Praise You.
Amen.
And then we have heaven. The question is asked, what are they doing in heaven right now?
Okay, I like that.
Oh, yeah, the answer is They are bowing down before the throne. The elders are casting down their crowns around the throne of God, and they are crying out, holy. 24 elders, the four beasts, they are crying out, holy. All the heavenly hosts bowing down around the throne, crying, holy, holy, holy. And I'm a little partial to that one because I wrote that song myself. I should say the Lord gave it to me. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's wonderful. Before I ask any question, because I've been guilty of being a helicopter versus an airplane, and so they tell me I just be taking off. I don't need no runway, but so I'm gonna slow down so that we don't lose nobody. We're at the end of testimony, and I would like for you to. A lot of people don't know of some of the things that you travel. If you can give us as much as your testimony as you desire to give, of course, but if you can testify about the early stages of your ministry, and if you add in that I hate to use this word, decline, because you're still ministering, you're still effective. So I don't mean decline in a negative way. I'm talking about decline in your health.
And we say it like this. Let's say as I begin to face challenges, you just use the word.
As challenges begin to arise in your life that became greater and greater, if you can kind of share a few of those, because it goes along with our lesson tonight on Hope Eternal, because one of the things this program is designed to do is to speak to encourage people not to stop trusting God, to keep on keeping on. And a lot of times when diversity hits us, if the first thing happens when it becomes real hard, is to stop and kind of retreat into a shell. And our goal and hope in this program is to encourage someone who may have done that to come out of that. And someone who was thinking of that, contemplating that, not to do that, not to throw in the towel, to know that God is on their side. So if you could share your testimony to us, no time limit on you, brother. Just let God have his way, okay?
Thank you, my brother. And first of all, let me say thank you for inviting me onto the show tonight. It's a pleasure to be with you. I know how you are, and I do know you are a helicopter because we share many conversations day and night and pray together over many things, and we both can run off without a runway. But I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share across the world my story and what God has done in me and for me. Well, let me go back to my early childhood a little bit, because it was there when, without me knowing that God had placed his purpose in my heart, when I was a little boy, 5, 6, maybe 7 years old, all I wanted to do, even four, I wanted to preach. I was so inspired and enamored with preaching until I would come home from church and sit at the kitchen table, and I would preach the pastor's message verbatim.
All right.
It was like it had recorded in me, and I would preach it even at that early age. I tried to tune up, too. As we say, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I received Jesus at the age of 8. I received salvation. I was baptized, had a powerful experience. I remember the revivalist that preached the revival that I received Jesus in was Reverend Arthur Pugh here in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. And I grew up, and that his message, his preaching, made a powerful impact upon me. And so I received Jesus at 8. I received the Holy Spirit about the age of right before 10, at 9. And but right at 10, God gave me another dose. Amen. And God gave me a praise to bless and praise and lift up his holy name. And then when I was 13, right in the fall of being 13 in 1977, I heard the Lord speak to me and say, I was playing football in junior high school and come in from practice one night and eating, taking my shower and everything. I was really tired. I got in my room and I always would read my Bible and everything, and I would pray. And so I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "My son, I called you to preach my word. And I'm going back here because you heard the track, and you might not know where the voice came from." And so I said, "Lord, you want me to preach now? I'm playing football now. I want to get on TV and say, 'Hi, Mom,' you know, like all the other college athletes did and the NFL players. I had envisioned myself going all the way to the pros. I love football that much. And just by the way, for those of you who are football enthusiasts, my football team of choice is the Pittsburgh Steelers."
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a true blue, yellow and black, all the way down to the bone. Amen. But the Lord spoke to me that night and said, "My son, I call you to preach my word." And I started trying to think of things. I'm 13 now, and my mind is pea size. It really hadn't even probably got beyond pea size. I don't know whether it was a black eyed pea, a field pea, a white pea, or what. Or a purple hood pea. But my mind was pea-sized, and so I thought, let me see. I'm going to make a deal with God, and I'm going to think of something that God can't do.
That he can't do?
That he can't do. And if I make a deal with him that if he does it, then I'll preach. But since it's something he can't do, I know he won't do it. And so I thought about a little girl. When I said can't do, I thought about a little girl in my church who had polio. She was born with polio. And she was about, you know, same age I was. And we had been praying in the church. We had been praying for her and praying for her, but nothing had changed. And so I said, well, okay, that don't change. So I thought about everybody in my family sings well, but me, on both sides of my family, my dad's side and my mom's side. And my dad's side were really singers. They were in the choirs and directing and leading songs and musicians and all of this stuff. So I said, okay, I want to sing like that, but, you know, since I don't have that voice, I sang through my nose. My aunt, bless her heart, let me start singing in the youth and young adult choir when I was 5 years old, well, 7 years below the age limit. And I promise you, I was the first one to grab the note and the last one to let it go. And you could tell I didn't have it in either case. And I sang through my nose. Some people say, "Oh, you sound like Rance Allen." Man, I did not sound like Rance Allen. Rance Allen. I sounded like Ugly Duckling. And so I said, "Lord, if you give me a voice, I'll preach a word. Give me a voice to sing." And so the Lord didn't say anything to me. And I found out then that when God has said and spoken, let the church say amen. Because he ain't fixing to change his mind. He's not going to say anything else. He's not going to make a deal with you. God did not make a deal with me. He said nothing else to me but, "My son, I call you to preach my word." And he said it to me 3 times. And after that third time, he said nothing else to me. And so I went to sleep that night, and I got up the next morning, taking my shower, getting ready to go to school. And you know they say everybody sounds good singing in the shower.
Uh-huh.
So I was singing in the shower, and my mom had this artist, and I'm going to call her name, and I'm sure many of them will be familiar with her, but her name is Sarah Jordan Powell. And okay. She had a version of the Lord's Prayer. Powerful voice, powerful woman of God, and a little mighty dynamo. And so I would get in the shower, and I would sing the Lord's Prayer. Well, I guess it sounded good in the shower. But this particular morning, I noticed there was something different about my voice. And I turned the shower off, and I kept singing. I said, wait a minute. Something ain't right. I got out of the shower and stood in the bathroom and was still singing. I said, wait a minute. Something happened to my voice. You know, just like I said, 13 years old, pea brain. I promise you. I didn't think God could do it. And then I went out into the hallway. I said, okay, it's acoustics in the bathroom. Let me go out here in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And I started singing out in the hallway. And when I heard, my God, hallelujah, it still brings tears to my eyes. It overcomes me, overwhelms me, because when I heard my voice,
uh-huh,
hallway, dripping, messing up my mama's carpet, soaking wet, but I heard my voice, and I couldn't do nothing, but I believe I dropped to my knees and lifted up my hand and said yes to the Lord.
Wow.
Yes, Lord, I'll preach a word. I preach a word. And I finished playing football through my ninth grade year and that ninth grade football season. But after that, Mama said, okay, it's time for you to tighten up now. You got a call of God on your life, and you're going to need to get into the word, and you're going to need to pray, and you're going to need to seek the face of God, because God got a purpose for you. He got great plans for you.
Mm.
So I thank God for my mother, Apostle Earlene Douglas. I really thank God for her, because I didn't want to pray all them mornings. I didn't want to get in my word all them days, even though I had a habit of reading the Bible already for myself. I didn't think I needed any extra pride. I didn't need any assignments to read. But thank God, because now I don't have my sight. And I'll come back to that in a moment. But I don't have the sight. But what I do have is the word of God stamped down in my spirit, down in my heart.
Amen.
It's in my And it comes up sometimes even when I'm preaching. I don't have any intention sometimes of quoting certain scriptures. But while I'm preaching, God will drop a scripture down in my spirit, and that word will just start coming up out of me. It's nothing I do. It's what the Holy Spirit does in me. Because sometimes, I promise you, I go on a wonderful, wonderful prayer line at 5:30 every morning. That I'm not in dialysis. And there's a certain portion after the prayer and the praise, everybody quotes scriptures. And that has been a strength to me since 2019 when my wife passed away. And I just listened to the word at first. But everybody quotes scriptures. And so it comes my turn to quote a scripture, and sometimes I'm almost at a loss. But then when I'm teaching or preaching, the word of God, boom, the scriptures just pop out, man. So I know that is because of the time spent, the work, the effort put in when I was younger, learning the word, quoting the word. We used to quote scriptures and you know, stand up, the Bible drills. She said, draw sword. She'd tell us what scripture to find, and we had to find, put our Bibles down our side. And when she said, draw sword, we had to pull it up in our hands and be ready to flip those pages when she said, go. You know, and I like that, because I like to be the first one to find the scripture.
Amen. We got on our Sunday program, we got a part where we do something similar to that. It's called the Bloodhound of Scripture. and where Sister Ruth reads a particular passage, and it's our job to find where it is. So they don't tell us to find the scripture, and we have to find the page. You know, this is difficult to read now. So she'll read a portion of scripture, and she'll say, now find where it's at. And we have to find it. So, yeah.
I can't do stuff like that.
It still works. It still works, my brother.
Go right here.
I couldn't jump in right there. You got two things that you shared already that I would definitely love for you to highlight. You shared that you have lost your sight and you lost your wife. And
yeah,
I would love for you to share that, because I
began to preach at 13, and at 15 I was began to travel to do revivals and preaching and all of that across the country. I was also involved in NAACP Axel program, and I was a national finalist in the times that I was participating. And so God just opened up doors, even when I was in Seattle, Washington, when I lived there. I spoke for banks. I spoke for companies and so forth at different occasions. And the Lord just opened up doors for me through the preaching gift that he had placed in me. And so when I graduated from high school, around the age of 19, I really began to travel. I had traveled with my mom, and we had a crusade team. And so at 19, I began to travel extensively by myself and go do revivals and meetings and sometimes conferences and workshops, singing and teaching choirs and so forth, concerts. And so anyway, as I did and got on up, I was going. I didn't start off singing for Morris Cirillo. I started off being an usher, helping load the boxes and all that kind of thing, getting the background working. And I kept working and kept being faithful. And then one day I got an opportunity to sing. And he told me another time he wanted me to sing, and I did. And then I got to share the platform with many, many singers, and he told me one meeting I was not seen. I was working in the background, making things happen, as was my usual fare. And he asked me during an anointing service, he said, "Where have you been? I've been looking for you. I want you to sing." And I said, "Well, you know, I've been in the background doing what I do." He said, "Well, I don't want you in the background anymore. I want you out here on the platform singing with the rest of the singers from now on." And in that particular meeting, I got to sing with Andre Crouch. Many meetings, I got to sing with Alvin Slaughter, Ron Canole, Jacobs, Morris Chapman, one of the early praise and worship leaders from back in the, when praise and worship was just kind of getting started. And so if you know the song, sweet Jesus, you're the lily of the valley, you're the bright and morning star, sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Well, Morris wrote that song, Morris Chapman, and I got to sing with him and so many others, so many.
Man, that's wonderful.
Joanne Rosario that sang with Fred Hammond and the RFC, and she got her own recordings out there. God just privileged me and blessed me to be in the company of these people. I got to sing for before preachers like Bishop T.D. Jakes and Bishop Paul S. Morton and Bishop Jackie McCullough and Bishop Carlton Pearson and the list goes on. Brother Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Coleman and on. And so that was a privilege. And then I got to start traveling with him out of the country. going to London, started going to London with him in 95. But let me back up just a little bit, because in 89, I was praying for a wife. And,
let's not forget that.
You know, and so I was praying for a wife. And what I didn't know was I said to the Lord, God, I want my wife now. And this was like the first few days of September. We were in a Labor Day conference in Miami, Florida with Dr. Cirillo. And so I was saying that to the Lord there and didn't know she was in East St. Louis saying to the Lord, God, I want my husband now. And she said, I want my husband to be a man of God. I want him to be an evangelist. And I don't mind working to take care of my family as long as he is doing your will, God. And I must say, I met this jewel of a woman. It's a week later. Matter of fact, it wasn't even a whole week. I met her like 5 days later after I prayed this prayer. After she prayed, I met her. We hit it off that weekend, and then 2 weeks later, I was asking her to marry me. and we dated the rest of the 9 months, and we got married May 19th, 1990. And so when we became married for 30 years. And God just blessed her right before we were in that 30th year when she passed away. We have five kids. They're all grown now, adults. And she passed away. She got sick in January of 2019, and she stayed in the hospital, never came back home, never came out until between nursing homes and the hospital stays. Until she passed away December of 2019. So that's been a rough time. But back to traveling with Dr. Cirillo on a consistent basis, that was June of 1995. And I got invited to go to England with him for a six-city tour. We went to Scotland, Ireland, Manchester, England, Birmingham, England, Liverpool, London, England, Bournemouth, England, Portsmouth, England. And I was the only singer that went on the trip. And then I started going with him every year to London. In August, they had a conference, a big two-week conference called Mission to London. And so we did that, and God opened up many doors. I got to preach and sing for many of the churches over there and pastors such as Bishop John Francis and Ruach Ministries, Pastor Matthew Ashimaloa of the Kingsway International Ministries, Pastor Hugh Osgood, Pastor Colin Dye, or Apostle Colin Dye, and the Kensington Temple Church, the London City Church. I was on the BBC, did several interviews on the radio, interviews on the BBC, been on the God Channel. When the God Channel first started, it's on cable now, and it's all over the world. But when the God Channel first started, I was one of their first guests on the God Channel, which is a television network like INSP, like TBN, and so forth. So I did all of that. God blessed me, and we traveled and everything. And I traveled with Dr. Cirillo until January of 2005. And by June of 2005, went to sleep one night. Well, actually, I have something else, but I'll go here. I went to sleep one night, seeing fine. And then I woke up the next morning, and my vision was blurry. I couldn't see clearly. I didn't even realize how much I could see then until I till I can't see anything now. I started to lose, and then I got a little clear vision. Excuse me, I got a little pinhole clear vision in my right eye. My left eye went out in August of 2005 totally. I had AMD and the macula degenerated in that eye. It shriveled up, and there was nothing they could do about it. My right eye had a weak retina, and then it finally detached. And so that was 2005, and I was going to have a surgery to repair that. And while I was there, they were doing my pre-op blood work and everything, and doing my blood pressures, and my blood pressure was, they said, was high, and it was over high. And then when they did the lab work, my blood showed that there were enzymes that indicated I had had a heart attack. And then it also showed that my kidney function was already in renal failure, acute renal failure. Didn't know it. Didn't have any idea that this is what was going on with me. They did a stress test the next day. Thalamus stress test, and they worked me, and the doctor, I said, the cardiologist, when he finished the test, he said, I don't know why they said that you had a heart attack, because there's nothing wrong with your heart. Now, mind you, this was 2005, so I was 41. He said, you have a heart, 20-year-old. He said, there's nothing wrong with your heart. So I went on, and I started seeing a nephrologist, a kidney doctor, in January of 2006. And by March, I got sick one weekend and couldn't stop vomiting. And he had told us, if you start vomiting, you need to come to the hospital immediately. My wife and I went out to eat, and we came back. I was throwing up before we could get home out of the door of the car. And so we got home, and she said, you need to call the doctor and go to the hospital. I said, we'll see. I don't think I'm sick. I don't think that's what it is. And I didn't want to go. And I did. I did want to go. I threw up all that night, and I prayed and threw up all night long. And the next morning, I woke up throwing up, and she said, are you going to call him? I said, well, give me a little while though. I don't feel like going. And she said, I am not giving you anything. She got the phone and called the doctor herself.
That's right.
We ended up going on to the hospital, and I didn't have to go through the emergency room. When she called the doctor, he already had the wheelchair waiting on me to admittance, and into a room, and they took me into surgery and got me ready for dialysis. And I started dialysis the day that I was supposed to go back to Atlanta to Emory University have my eye surgery. I was getting fitted for dialysis, and I started. And so I did that for 3 years before I was able to do anything else about my eyes. In 2009, I had a retinal reattachment in my right eye, and it lasted 1 week before I had a heart arrhythmia. And my sight started, my vision blocked up again. It cleared up a little bit. And then in 2010, in May of 2010, I had gotten really sick because the glaucoma in my left eye was so bad, I couldn't hardly eat. I couldn't hold my head up, wouldn't digest any food, everything, nothing stayed down. And so I had a partial eye removal, and that got better. And went on 10, 11, 12, 13. My wife went through some things herself. She became a double amputee by the end of, she had one amputation in 2011, second one in 2013. So we were kind of taking care of each other in there. And
I remember those days.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you were with us, man, throughout all of it. And then in 2018, somehow or another, I had stumped my big toe on my right foot, and it became infected. I didn't even know it had gotten infected, and it became gangrenous, and they had to amputate my big toe. And then that was in January, end of January. The 1st of March, they were taking another toe and another toe until they said, well, what we're going to need to do is cut all your toes off. And that was in May. We spent our anniversary, May 19th, watching Harry and Meghan in 2018. We were watching Harry and Meghan get married on our wedding anniversary. And I was in the hospital facing to have my my foot cut off, or my toes anyway. Yeah. And so then he told me they did an MRI. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but the gangrene, the infection has spread up to your ankle. And we're going to have to go and take your foot. I kind of cried. I turned into God. I had prayed and begged God when I went into the hospital that I wouldn't have to lose my foot, because one of the things that I love to do is praise God, and I like to praise God in the dance.
Amen.
I love to shout and dance for my God. And God gave me a dance. I didn't have a dance, but when I was 10 and the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, I asked him to give me a dance, and he gave me a dance. Oh, I used to play all the fast songs that sounded like shouting music.
Right.
And I would try to, listen, I could never get it right. Didn't have enough rhythm for that. But one day I said, Lord, I can't get this right. Give me a dance for you. And the Holy Ghost fell on me like he did when he filled me with the Holy Ghost. And, oh, my God, my feet started moving. I've been dancing ever since. And so I'm telling you. So I thought I couldn't dance because of the prosthesis that I wear.
Uh-huh.
And, I said, Lord, I ain't gonna be able to dance no more. I said, Lord, please save my foot. I wanna dance. And I was kinda disappointed. I had lost my sight. I didn't get disappointed. Somebody asked me one day, I was president of the Thomasville Area Ministerial Alliance, and they said, Pastor Deering, you're going to retire now, right? And I said, retire? I turned with what little sight I did have. I said, retire? What am I going to retire for? Well, you know, you're losing your sight, and you ain't going to be able to read the scriptures. I said, listen, as long as there's nothing wrong with my mind and my mouth, because I have the word down in my heart, then I'll preach.
Yes, Lord.
That's been my stance till this day. As long as there's nothing wrong with my mind or my mouth, and I can hear God talking to me, I'm going to preach his word. And so when I lost my foot, I didn't know how that was going to work. And I kept messing up, forgetting that I didn't have that foot anymore, and I would try to get up out of the bed and stand up, and down on the ground I would go. I busted the stump up a couple of times, but thank God, finally it healed. Ooh. And by the time it healed, my left foot got an infection in the small toe. And I ended up getting all my toes cut off on my left foot. And this is still in 2018. So I had to have that happen. Right after Thanksgiving, I went to the hospital the morning after Thanksgiving. And so they put me right in and began to work on it.
And now, thank God, I'm able to walk again with the aid of a socket, a prosthesis for my right leg and insert that goes in my left shoe. So I can walk like anybody else. And if I don't tell you, I got the insert in there like I told y'all all over the world now. but if I didn't tell you, you
wouldn't
know.
Actually, I forgot about the left one. I'm just a bit remembering all that, you know, because I've been with you through the whole thing. So, you know, I walked this journey with you, and one of the things that, a couple things. Number one, what encouraged me, and this was amazing. The way God allowed your wife and you to complement one another in y'all conflict. In the midst of all of that, that was one of the. I remember us sitting in the car talking many times, you and your wife, me and my wife, and talk about many things. And I'm going to need you to clean up one thing. I can't tell you over the air. I'm going to need you to clean up one thing because my wife will think you said something else. And every now and then she throw it up. She said, Elder said you. I said, that is not what he said. But we'll talk about that later. Because in her mind, she thinks you said that. So, but that's a whole. Let me get back on track.
Everybody wondered, what was it I got to clean up?
Yeah, you got to clean that up. That's all I'm going to say.
Listen, y'all, let me tell y'all something right quick about my brother. First of all, this man is a wonderful, wonderful brother. He has stood with me. You talking about somebody that has a humble servant's heart. This man carried my Bible. He's carried me places to preach when I didn't have my own way. Because, you know, something happens in the body of Christ. And I'm going to let you get back. Don't forget what you were saying. I'm going to get back there. But something happens within the body of Christ that we tend to shun people who have disabilities. Or people get sick in the church, and we push them to the side. I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit to say this tonight. But if you're listening to me, glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. If you're listening to me tonight, I don't know where you are, where you're from, but if you're listening and you know you have a call of God on your life and you've been used by God, but somehow sickness or disease or illness has stricken your body. It didn't take you out, but it knocked you down. And looked like people put you down. They dropped you off along the way and kept on going. Well, let me tell you, God has not forgotten you. And neither is he through using you. Yeah. What you need to do is take what you have left. Dust yourself off, shake yourself off, and get up again. You can get up even if you're sitting in a wheelchair. You can get up if you're laying in the bed. Thank God for technology that we have conference calls and blog radio, and we have Zoom and all these different mediums that we can get a word out, Instagram and all of that, Periscope, whatever. You know, I don't know all that.
That's it. Social media.
We got so many mediums and means of getting the word of God out, letting the gift be expressed through us. If you sing, you can sing on those same mediums. You don't have to wait for anybody to give you a chance. God will create a chance for you. I do believe that the word of God says your gift will make room for you. And just so you will know, I still have my dance. Even with my prosthetic leg and my toes, I still got my dance. Amen. And so what I'll say, y'all hear him talking about cleaning something. We've had many deep conversations with our wives. So I'm God, which one he's talking about cleaning up.
Anyway, what I enjoyed was how you all complimented one another. It was encouraging. You and your wife, just a few years older than me and my wife, and y'all marriage was about five years ahead of ours, because we're just celebrating our 25th. So we're just a little over 25 now. So, but we had wonderful conversations. But what I used to enjoy is in diversity, her money was never her money. It was y'all money. And I witnessed this woman working hard, laboring with others. She was a great author. And I shared before on the line that she was one that worked in our publishing housing system to do proofing, to verify that the literature is written properly, English-wise, literature-wise, rather. And so was one that was gifted. And whenever God would just bless her to do, to help others with their books or whatever, I've never seen her receive something and then think about her husband. It was times that she would say, she would call me up. She said, "Elder Bonnie, you did this and this for us." I said, "I'm good." She said, "Nah, we need to do. God done blessed us, so we." And it was always us. It was not me. And she always came from a point that made you understand when the Bible said the two shall be one. Mm-hmm. And whenever you were talking about your wife, I don't care what conversation happened, it was a known fact. He had one, even though he couldn't see, he still had one in his eye. You know, there was one woman that you was able to see, and yeah. That was, and so I enjoyed that. One of the greatest things, man, and over the years, I can just remember, here it is, you are blind. We would do conferences, have our district meetings and stuff, and your wife would be dressed up, and you would say, "Look at her, don't she look good?" How you say that? Well, I think you can see, Reverend. I think you're putting on.
Don't say that too loud, man. Somebody might think it's the truth.
So what blessed my heart was to see the joy in the two of you. Even when your wife was going through her amputation, and I was there when she had to go through that, and man, and I'm telling you, I'm hurting for y'all. But you know, from the outside in, I can't be the one crying and whimpering and talking sad. I had to be the one encouraging. But to see y'all, even in the midst of that, encourage other people, that was blessing me to see how you were still able to minister, that y'all didn't allow your setbacks to keep you back, but you used them as stepping stones to keep on marching for the Lord. And that's what blessed me so much, to see that through all the different stages. And I know we don't have time on this program to talk about the so many different stages of it, but it's a blessing to see that. One of the main reasons why I wanted you to be on the program is because the founder of Six Eyes Studio,
this network. The founder, he himself is blind. His name is Charles Sanford, and he's Mr. Six Eyes himself. And he's blind, and this blindness took him recently after he started this platform. And so he's dealing with those challenges in his life. Missionary Ken, who prayed for us earlier, prayed the program in, he's blind. He has a ministry, Bibles for the Blind. And he has another ministry. I would call it a ministry, not a business, because it's really a ministry where as a blind man, he delivers product on a bike.
And so
this program is about no matter what happens to you in life, God has gifted you to still win. God is he's purpose in your life. If you would trust him and not give up, you can still win. Now, I think I still got Brother Charles Mike on, and I think I still have Missionary Ken Mike on. Is there a question? Let me see. Missionary Ken, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. And, in fact, I would give me a call sometime. I'm going to give my cell number here because I'd like to invite him to be a guest on the Thursday show for the Jumbo Braille program that we do that focuses on disabilities. I'm going to give you actually got my number there, Pastor Bonnet. You could give that, pass that on to him.
I will do that. I will do that.
I'd appreciate that because I'd like to invite him as a guest on our Jumbo Braille program. It focuses on those disabilities. And then also, speaking of the Jumbo Braille program, this Thursday we're interviewing Pastor Kenneth Bonnet himself about his lawn care business. So we want to invite people to do that as well. But a question I have for my brother is, I know myself being a preacher as well as being totally blind, and I have two artificial eyes. Do you find it challenging with other preachers that are sighted where they have like this attitude, well, you can't do such and such because you can't see?
Yes. Yes, I do have that challenge. I've had that, you know, as a matter of fact, from the time I started to lose my sight before I went totally blind. And it's something I was alluding to earlier in my statements that, you know, something happens in the body where we tend to want to put down people or drop them off on the side of the road because they have a physical challenge. It's not really a disability, but it's a challenge to see if you're going to get up from here. You see, when the man was laying at the pool of Bethesda before Jesus healed him, he said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And his eyes got stuck on his physical challenge. And he said, "Well, I have nobody to help me. I have no man." And you have to come to the point to realize in these certain these things of God, when God tells you to do something, you don't need a man. You just need to obey.
Speaking of which, my wife and I are a gospel singing group called the Ashtabula Angels, and we sing a song that's called "Just Because I Don't See You Doesn't Mean God Can't See Me," and it kind of touches on the very subject you're talking about. And that word that you were giving, I accepted that myself because that sounded like a word directly to me, and I thank you for that word.
God bless you. God bless
amen,
you.
Amen. Brother Charles, you with us? Did I have you? Still?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any questions? Now, let me address my listeners real quick before you speak. Any listeners that's on, if you have a question that you would like to ask Elder Willie Deering, if you'd like to ask him any particular questions, press 1 on your dial, so that I will unlock your phone so that you can speak and ask the questions. Anybody that have a question for him, you're more than welcome. Now, we're going to keep the question civil now. This is a gospel program. Amen. amen. But anybody have a question for him, just press the one, and we'd be glad to allow you to speak to the preacher. It's definitely an encouraging word that you may like to share with him. You're more than welcome to do so. And again, just press the one, and we'll open up your mic. Brother Charles, once again, Charles is the founder of the Six Eyes Radio Network, and he's been blind since 2000 what?
5 years, July.
Okay. 15?
16.
Mm-hmm. 16, okay.
Well, brother, I am very inspired. I mean, your voice is amazing. Your testimony, I mean, for all you've been through, you're resilient. And I'm going to say not blind. When I say we're blind with vision, God sees for us. Each step we take, we walk in by faith, not by sight. And I don't believe in a visual impairment. We are visually empowered. So that's what I believe you are, visually empowered, and I'm very inspired. So I thank you. And are you still recording? That's my question.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm working now to raise the funds so I can go back in the studio starting around the beginning of the new year. I never stopped singing. I never stopped preaching. As a matter of fact, and maybe I can give the information before
Absolutely.
We finish up.
Anything you want?
Thank you. Bible study session called The Gathering, and mm-hmm. it was something the Lord wanted me to do last year at the beginning, the outset of the pandemic. And he let me know that, you know, you need prayer, and we start off praying. This year he's taking me in a little different direction, but last year we were doing prayer, share a word, and then spend time in prayer. And so we still pray, but the most emphasis is on the word, and that's on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And then Saturday morning I do another one called The Early Bird Gets the Word at 7 a.m. in the morning, Central Time. And so we go through the Word of God. We don't go a message to message. We go book to book, chapter to chapter, verse by verse. And the emphasis is to get people an understanding of the Word of God. So many times we teach the Bible from denominational and doctrinal opinionated standpoints, and we miss what God is really saying to his people through his word. And so that's what we do. So I'm still active. I even participate in a 5:30 a.m. prayer line every morning called the Prayer Council. So I'll give you those numbers and information before we get off. I'm not the host of that, but I participate in it. And it's a powerful time of prayer for an hour every morning, 7 days a week. And I'm telling you, I refuse to die. Brother Charles, in 2000, I want to say 6, that's around that Christmas mm-hmm. 2006, I was starting to have an anemic attack.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get warm no matter what they did. I couldn't get warm. I was shivering and shaking, and I really felt like I was about to die. And mm-hmm. I got up from bed, and I went in the bathroom to pray. And I didn't want to wake my wife up. And while I was in the bathroom, the Lord spoke to me. And just out of the blue, said to me, "You shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord." And I was like, wow, okay, God. So I began to pray. I wanted to shout right then, because that let me know that whatever I was feeling, whatever I was dealing with, it wasn't going to get me down. It wasn't going to take me out. And I went back to my room, and I sat on the bed,
trying to be quiet so I wouldn't wake my wife up. And I looked over in the corner where I had, we call it a chest of drawers. And, you know, where all my drawers and stuff were. But the drawers weren't there. I didn't see that. I saw a vision of a lady rocking in a rocking chair. And she was a big lady. And she had on, like you would see, a black dress. It had a white kerchief around her shoulders and her neck. And she had on, like, one of those wide-brim hats, round, wide-brim hats. And she was sitting there fanning and just rocking. And she spoke to me, and she said, "Your services will be on the 30th. And I said, this was December, and, you know, we're right at Christmas. And I started laughing, shaking and shivering, but I started laughing. And I said, "You devil, you're going to have to go. I rebuke you, spirit of death, because you don't know what my father just spoke to me. He told me to prepare me for you, that I shall live and not die and declare the works of God." So you got to go. And right in that moment, that vision left my room.
Wow, I'm
and
glad
I'm
it did.
Here today.
I'm glad it did. Wow.
Yes, sir. And
wow.
So I thank God. So we don't have to be down just to put together what you and Missionary Ken was talking about. We don't have to be put down. We don't have to quit. We can keep going. God makes a way for us to do what he's called us to do. If we would just have the faith, just be obedient. And I learned that having faith is not just talking about it, but it's acting on it. And you act by being obedient to the word that God has spoken, and you don't let your obstacles, your challenges stop you because of what God has called you to do. You keep going.
Absolutely. Amen.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
First off, feel free to promote anytime you want to promote on this station, feel free to. But if one wants to make a contribution to help you raise your funds for your studio sessions, how would they go about doing that?
Okay. I have – I'll give you two methods, and one is Cash App.
I love
that's
it.
That's dollar sign, capital W, capital D, lowercase E-A-R-I-N-G, all one word. And then there's Zelle. Many of us have Zelle. Now we've gone to another mode of money transferring. And so Zelle, you can use my email address, and that's lowercase Deering, D-E-A-R-I-N-G, Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E, the number 3, DeeringWillie3 at gmail.com. And it'll go directly into my account.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Well, I will be sending you a donation later on through Cash App.
Bless
that's my buddy, Cash. So I'll be doing that. Also, I will be getting your album. I will be getting your album later on tonight. And we'll talk. We'll talk. I won't hold the rest of the show because nobody ever get a word in edgewise. So I'm going to turn it back over. Anybody got any questions?
Amen. Thank
you. Ever then, your testimony about that right there lead us into what the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about in chapter 2. I mean, in Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He started talking to them, reminding the Corinthians that their true and eternal destiny is with Christ in glory, and to encourage them not to fear death, but to keep their hope in God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, 17 and 18 reads as follows: "For which cause we faint not,
but through our outward man perish. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man he is renewed day by day. So he's encouraging them. And verse 17 says, for our light affliction, everything that we go through, we called it heavy going through at the moment. But Paul saying, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. You talk about them 12 elders, 24 elders around the throne casting their throne. So for a more weight of glory. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How you feel about that? How you feel about that?
Wow, man. I'm glad you took us back into those scriptures, because a little while ago, while you were talking, three scriptures came to my mind. That particular verse 17 and chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and then Romans 8 and 18. And 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us by Christ Jesus. And notice, he said I, but he ended up saying us.
That's right.
Talk about the glory. And then in 17, you know, you got that. It's working for us. This light of affliction. Now, we got to understand, when he talked about light affliction, he wasn't talking about aches and pains and challenge, physical challenges and sicknesses and lack of money and so forth. He was talking about them being persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the gospel, for standing up to preach the message of grace, that salvation is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You don't have to jump through hoops. You ain't got to leap through rings of fire. You ain't got to walk on coals of fire or nails or broken glass. My mom went to the Philippines, and she said she saw people literally crawling around on their knees trying to get rocks embedded into their knees to prove to God how much they loved him and how much they wanted him.
Yeah.
And I said, wow. And we don't have to do that. All we got to do is simply and obey him. But they were going through this for Jesus Christ. They were being persecuted in the Corinthian church for standing up for Jesus. And we go
through,
you know, it's a light. He called it a light affliction.
Yeah.
It's only lasting but for a moment. But it's working for us. It's work. Listen, I don't care what you're going through. Man, you almost make me feel like preaching. I don't care what you're going through. I'll put that preacher voice on right quick. Whatever you're going through, it's working for you.
Yes,
it's working. Catch that. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever situation you're in, whatever state you find yourself in, right now, in this very present moment, you might be riding around in your car because you don't have a place to stay, and you're riding around looking for the place of a safe place to park your car and sleep overnight. But it's working for you. It's working for you. Maybe you went to the doctor today and you received the diagnosis of cancer. But listen, don't fret. Don't fall out, because God has already made a provision for that diagnosis. You want to know what it is? It's called healing. If you're struggling with some addiction or some sin that you can't really shake by yourself, you can't shake it by yourself. Don't ever think you can stop doing anything by yourself. It takes the power of God. It takes the blood of Jesus to wash you and cleanse you from all iniquity.
So,
and all you got to do is ask him to forgive you. See, You confess your faults to him and ask him to forgive you, and he will cleanse you. He will forgive you and cleanse you.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness. So he already gave a remedy. For whatever you're dealing with in the area of sin, he already gave a remedy.
Amen.
So it's working for you. It's working for you what? A far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. And then 5 and 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah. I'm going to read chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses. Now, I normally read from King James, but every now and then I like to read from the New Living. And so,
yeah.
Listeners, I'm reading from the New Living, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to be reading for you 10 verses here, starting with verse 1. It says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down," glory to God, "that taken down, that is when we die." So it's being clear for us. It ain't talking about going camping. It's talking about the vessels that we have. Amen. So when we, it says, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by hand." Many people thought, you know, they talking about great big old mansion. Now we're talking about an eternal body. Amen. That's a whole nother message. We're gonna keep on moving. "Made for us by God himself and not by human hands." Verse 2. "We grow weary in our own present body, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothes." Some people get happy when they get new clothes. Imagine the day we get new bodies. Woo, glory. Verse 3. "For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirit without bodies, like the demonic spirit that's running around in the earth today looking for a body, looking for somebody to possess." "While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life." God himself has prepared for us and has has given us his spirit, his Holy Spirit. Verse 6. "So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord." Verse 7. "For we live by believing and not by seeing." That's the King James said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." New Living says, same verse, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." Same thing. We're not operating on what we can see, but we are holding on to our faith in the promises of God. Glory to God. Because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and there is no sorrow. God said it. I love to say it like this. God said it. That settles it. Amen.
Right.
Whether you believe it or not, if he spoke it, it's coming to pass. Coming to pass. Verse 8. "Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord." Verse 9. "So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him." Our goal is to please the Almighty Father. Our goal is to please him. Verse 10, and I'm going to stop right this one. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body.
Yes.
I'm gonna pass the baton to you, preacher.
Listen, that's what we live for. That every person on this radio, every person that claims the name of Christ, our whole aim should not be to get rid of trouble. Somehow or another, we have this idiom that when I come to Jesus, it's all going to be rose, peaches, and cream, and I ain't going to have to go through no more. No, that's when you get to heaven, when you get to glory. But as you were reading, as we live in these bodies, there's going to be something to deal with. So our aim should not be necessarily, no, nobody wants to go anything through anything or a lot of things, one thing after another, like seems like sometimes to me I deal from one situation to another. But nobody wants to go through that. But our aim should not be to get out of trouble or away from trouble, but to please God in the midst of everything that we're dealing with. No matter what you're dealing with, our aim should be to please God and to show love, his love, to our fellow man, to one another, you know. And so we're working for something. We're working for something. See it, you know, we can't see it. Even in Hebrews chapter 11, when it starts talking about Abraham in the hall of faith, and he says they were not at home in this world. They sought a far better country. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a better place.
Amen.
I'm not another house. We can go build a house and build it to specifications and everything, to delight and desire, but you that's still not your home.
Come on.
Not when you belong to Jesus. Heaven is our home. See, heaven is glory. We're trying to get to glory. See, when Jesus got the glory, the Father said, sit down and take a rest in the place of honor at my right hand. And wait thou until thine enemies be made thy footstool. So all of us can stand to take a load off, put our
foot
up, and let God deal with our enemy. We try to fight the enemy when we should be fighting the good fight of faith, taking a stance for the word of God, taking a stance for the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking a stand for the power of God working and moving, miracles, signs, and wonders. We should be taking a stand. And even as the scripture says, we should be able to give a reason. Talking about hope eternal. You ought to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Your testimony is your reason. What has God done?
That's why this program is
on this testimony. Yes, that's it, and that's what we do. You start telling. I'm reminded of Shirley Caesar's song, and she was talking about in the song. She was talking about a lady who was going through so much in her life that she was ready to walk away from God and give up because of all she was going through. And I believe if I remember the song correctly, she said, before I go back on God, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to testify. You know. Oh, my. I'm going to testify.
I was thinking about that song by Helen. She had one talking about a coin, and by the time she got finished, she was talking about her struggle, but she started remembering all that God has brought her through.
Yeah,
and by the time she got finished, remembering all that God done, she was shouting and believing God to get her through this too.
And that's what this lady said. when she got through testifying and talking about all that God had done for her and brought her through, she said, before I take it back, I can't go. God, he's been too good to me. And before I take it back, I'll add more to it. Because he's really been good to me. And that, you know, that's just the way it is, man. I've been in some straits financially. I mean, didn't know where the next was coming from. I remember one year I went to London, and I had been invited over by a particular group. Won't call their name because they're in the United States as well. But I've been invited over and as their special guest, and I went. I paid my own way. And, you know, they put me up in a home, and when it got through, I think they gave me equivalent of $90 American money. At that time, it was probably about 50 British pounds. And I had to go home. It was Christmas time. And just to allude back to what you were saying about my wife, I appreciated her so much because she made a vow to God. She didn't make a vow to me. She made a vow to God. Yeah. And she kept that vow. She took care of her family. She made ways and visions. We weren't able to go out at Christmas time and just go buy gifts. So she would start in September putting stuff in the layaway. And she would get so excited for these five kids that she would go and we would get that stuff out on Black Friday. And on Black Friday, she done put in another layaway and get that out by the 15th of December. But it was her wisdom in saving and putting back and sacrificing here and sacrificing there that made us able to do it. But this particular year, when I went to London, they gave me all of $90. And it took that much for me to get my car out of the park in Atlanta. We were living in Georgia. I left my car in the parking lot in the garage in Atlanta, and it took that much and more for me to get my car out. Before I left, somebody handed me a few more dollars, and I think I maybe had $120, $130 when I got to the airport. I got my car out. My car was on E, so I had to stop and fill it up with gas. And that left me a couple of dollars to buy a soda and a bag of chips. I started on my trek back to Thomasville, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, it's Christmas time. I don't have any money. I didn't argue with them, go back and forth about money and honorariums. I didn't do that then. I don't do it now. And I said, but Lord, it's in your hands. Whatever they don't do, I trust you to make it up for me. So the next day, I was at my church and standing in the sanctuary, kind of looking out the big glass windows at the street, and I got a phone call. And this first phone call said, I just want you to know I'm sending you $350 for your kids for Christmas. I was like, wow, God, I thank you. I went back to the window. I said, maybe I need to stand in the window a little while longer. I got another phone call. Before I could get stands in the window, I got another phone call. Said, I'm sending you $500 for your kids for Christmas.
Ooh, man, I'm going to get up and go stand at the window.
I'm trying to tell you, you need to go stand in the window. And that was $850. And then I got another $250, which made $1,100. And we were able to pay the bills and give our kids a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And, I mean, God did that. That was Christmas of 96.
Man, amen.
And God moved. He blessed. And it was all it was obedience to his word and believing him. So he's working for you. Recognize, think, consider, expect that the glory that is coming is greater than the suffering that you're going through.
Amen.
Whatever you're going through, see, And so all things work together. 28:28, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And I got one more for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you, but that which is common unto man. You are not going through anything that no one else has not gone through already. But God, see, that's why I like, but changes the whole complexion of the verse, because now you don't concentrate on what you're going through, and you don't concentrate on what anybody else has gone through, but you concentrate. This becomes the most relevant and important part of the verse. But God, who is faithful. Who is faithful?
That's it.
God is faithful. And he will not allow you to suffer or to be tempted above that which you are able. But it don't stop there. What else does it say? But he will with the temptation. He will make a way of escape. Why?
Yes,
so you
Lord.
Can bear. What does that mean by so that you will be able to bear it? So you can come out with a testimony. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, pastor, elder, evangelist, world-renowned singer, a father, a husband, a friend, a brother. Man, you have been all of those things and more. You are an ambassador for Christ. Amen. And it truly is our pleasure to have had you on the program this evening. Now, time is sadly passing our time here to, and it's not, the program not going to cut off in 2 hours. We're going to the bonus time. I did want to play your song one more time. But before I play your song one more time, we'll end the show on the song. But I would like for you to give them one more time. Anyone that like to sow a seed into your life to help you with your studio, trying to get your studio money together so that you can put together your next album. We know that by doing that, that will definitely create a revenue for you to add support to you and where you are. We don't have to get into your business, what you owe, what God is in control of all of that. We just know that any seed that's sold in good ground grows and produces a harvest. And so I want you to take a moment here and give your Cash App and your Zelle connection again for anyone that likes to sow a seed. And one, if I don't do it this evening, I'll do it tomorrow morning. I'm going to send you Missionary Ken's personal information so that you two can get together on some other things and talk about other things in y'all realm of where y'all at. Amen. And so, but I just want to say thank you, my brother, for coming on the program tonight with us. It has been, as somebody we know both know, it has been a plum pleasing pleasure.
Yes, sir.
As little boy, you say, you done a bumper job.
Oh, yeah, that's what she used to say. Well, I want to tell you, I certainly appreciate this opportunity. Thank you for the welcome and the acceptance. And thank all of you for staying on and listening to this broadcast. I really appreciate you for that, for this streaming. I want to say that you've been a true brother and still are, and so I appreciate that as well. I want to give you two sets of information. First of all, I want to give you the giving information. And again, that is Cash App. It's $ W, capital W, capital D, lowercase E-A-R-I-N-G. Okay? It's like dear mom with an I-N-G on the end of it. The W is capital and the D is capital. Then the Zelle information is Deering Willie 3. That's DearingWillie3, and the number 3, DearingWillie3, at gmail.com. And it will go, and I will get a notification if you know anything about Zelle. That's how it works. And so I want to thank you in advance for being a sower into the purpose and the plan and the will of God for my life. Amen. And into the kingdom, because I believe that when we record again, it's going to bless people all over the world. That's what we're looking forward to. And I'd like to come back and debut it on this network, on this station.
Amen.
I also want to give you, okay, I also want to give you the times and numbers for my Bible study and the prayer line. The prayer line, I'm sorry?
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. The prayer line is at 5:30 a.m. Central Time every morning, 7 days a week, Monday through Sunday. And that number is currently 712-775-7031. And the host of that line is Evangelist Therese Wright and Elder Bernard Vernon. And I tell you, it's a powerful time of prayer, praise, and the word every morning.
Is there an access code to that one?
I'm sorry?
Is there an access code to that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave you the number.
Go right here. Elder? Uh-oh.
He might be looking it up.
All right. Elder has dropped off. He's connected to my line. So let's give him just a moment to call me back in. There he is. And we're going to reconnect. There is.
How about we take a commercial break till he gets back on?
Give us 1 second here.
We definitely want to say a prayer for the victims of the Afghanistan tragedy, the Marines that we lost, American soldiers. We want to send prayers to the families. And the American troops are coming home, so that's a blessing right there. And we want to pray for the victims of the Hurricane Ida. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, we're praying for strength and comfort for the family at this difficult time, for the lives that were lost. And any personal artifacts and those who lived can be replaced.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Hi, I'm a Christian.
And I'm a Christian too.
You know, in order to influence the world, we have to learn how to connect with them.
Oh, that's great. You know, I can connect. I'm bilingual.
Wow, you speak two languages.
Yeah, I speak English and Christianese.
Chinese, that's cool.
No, not Chinese, Christianese.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Huh. Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
Oh, you brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
You need to get saved.
Saved from what?
All right. What I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about like...
God will make a way. I know that He will. I've seen it and He will. Oh, God will bring you out. I know that He will. Make a way.
God will.
God will.
Make a way. I know that He will.
I know He will.
We apologize for the technical difficulties there. As Elder Deering was giving us the information, something happened to the line with Blog Talk would not allow us to reconnect, and it kept the system in holding pattern. We're in our bonus time, and so it don't allow new calls to come in. So I want to apologize for that, but we will be giving you that information later on.